after the wins, now is the time right back to the process. That's what helps take care of the learning, and that's exactly what we did today. So we had good meetings this morning, had a good walkthrough. We talk about the process, taking care of the learning. Big first and second down day for us. 2 minute, a lot of stuff for us to improve upon. We can't wait to get back in front of our fans here at the Dome. So we're looking forward to that. We know it's going to be two tough teams battling for it. Division game. We can't wait. With that, I'll open it up for you guys to the questions.
Yeah, Coach, are you still with Campbell running and Sanu just walked through today?
Yep, Sanu just was able to participate in that, and then we'll have Campbell on the side, and he'll get his a good dose of running today, and then we'll see what type of progress he makes and how that could include things for the end of the week.
Any other injury updates?
No other updates. Everyone else is participating in practice today, so Sanu will not participate in practice. He's able to do the walkthrough, and Campbell as well, and Warlow obviously won't practice either.
And Julio was getting so much attention. Is there a way to free him up from, you know, seeing three guys that, you know, on
that's it's hard. He did get seven targets, so we still want to know, make sure that, you know, he's our guy we're going to get to. So it does free up other opportunities when that happens, but sometimes three, he still finds a way. We can't dictate always how they're going to play us, but we can put them in different spots, and we certainly will continue to do that.
And how was Minnesota so successful in shutting down Benjamin for Carolina? He was, I guess, going through the same type of situation.
And oftentimes when he's such a factor on some of the big, deep, outbreaking routes, and so when that didn't happen for him, that was obvious. They didn't have the same amount of targets they normally have. So they're a very good team. Got some explosive guys, Benjamin and Olsen. And, again, they have unique guys, and I think they do an excellent job of featuring those unique guys. Their run game, the package they have on that, is certainly one, you know, with the different ways they can run, including the quarterback. That presents a big challenge for the D.
You mentioned Cam running. When he gets out of the pocket, is it more one-on-one situations? Does that put more of an emphasis on tackling because you're solo on an island?
Sometimes that is the case when he's outside on the perimeter. Sometimes there's read plays where, okay, I can decide to hand it off or give it based on a look. And there's other times that are just strictly designed for him to be involved as the runner. And I think that's what makes him more unique than most quarterbacks. There's a lot of people that have some form of read option as part of their package. I would say they're one of the most unique ones that has him not just part of the option package, but as a, you know, the number one runner in the play.
Coach, after dealing with Fleener Monday night, what kind of corrections would you like to see now that you're dealing with Griggles?
Yeah, when you have that many catches for the explosives, we went back and looked at the targets and what we could have done better. Some were in zone, some were in man-to-man. It wasn't where it was on one player. So we know in the zone ones how to play those better, and we anticipate doing that. And then as far as the matchups go for the week, we'll look into that this week to say how do we want to feature certain guys in our man-to-man. So it's definitely at the front of our attention.
Now that you've been able to look at the tape, what did you see specifically that Minnesota was able to do? Obviously, they had 8 sacks. What have you seen in particular in that aspect?
Yeah, usually when there's that type of production from the rush standpoint, there's an excellent job that's taking place on the back end that may not show up where a coverage was unique. They stuck on guys where the quarterback had to hold it longer than he would anticipate. And I think that was a real example of that on Sunday. I thought there was some very fine play, you know, on the back end by Minnesota. It wasn't where it was just an all-out blitz that created that. But they did a good job finishing, I will say that.
Does it make a difference, Coach? They have used multiple running backs with the injury to Stewart. They also use some of the wide receivers. Does it make a difference in the personnel as far as what the guys need to know when so many different guys might be running the football?
Yeah, most teams are that way. When there's certain guys that can be featured in a special way, how do you try to plan for that? So we'll do our best to look at that plan and see what unique guys have. And also as receivers, too, some are a tight end, can be deep, or some are intermediate routes. So it's definitely part of the plan. And that's the process that we talk about each week. The process takes care of the learning. So today, here's the things we want to focus on. We obviously had a huge emphasis on tackling defensively. We had a huge emphasis on their personnel and the guys they try to feature in certain formations and routes. So that's the big part. When we say the process takes care of the learning. Going through that process each and every week helps you get ready.
How much of a difference does it make having Kyle up in the box?
I'm glad that the league, you know, had this as a rule. And defensively, I did that from the press box where you can call plays fairly quickly, you know, down to an assistant coach on. The advantage that we have now for him to talk right to the quarterback, you know, with the communication that we're able to do this year, it just allows you to see things from a different perspective up top. I thought it's been a real significant factor for us. I thought that combination of Kyle being up, Matt LaFleur being down, being able to communicate through Matt, you know, the things that are happening on the field, it's been really good for us.
Freeman had a great game, but using Tevin more in the red zone, is that something we could see more of this year?
It wasn't necessarily by design to say, you know, this is a red zone runner or not. So it's just kind of how the plays worked out. We didn't have a specific package for, you know, Dev to go in this one or Free to go in this one. Tevin to go in on one or Free to go on another. It's just kind of how the reps worked out on that play, you know, speaking of the red zone production.
Dan, when you have to break down big plays that you give up, I think the number was 7 plays, 24 or more yards.
Yep.
You have to determine, was it mental or physical? How did that part of it break out?
That's the painful part, and you have to go through that process, and that's ripping the Band-Aid off. And, okay, what happened? A good bit of those were mental, where we didn't play exactly the technique that we need to. There was a couple times I thought really good throw by Drew. You know, he's a G. He can throw, you know, some on spots too. So it would have been more than 3 at least were mental for us to say, can we play that technique better and learn from it? And those were 2 of the examples at the half that caused us so much frustration.
Coach, at the beginning of the season, they talked about it being a running back controversy on who's going to be getting the most carries. Now they're saying it's a two-man running back, two-headed monster. Are you happy with the way that everybody's getting their looks out there on the field?
Yeah, it's a real tribute to these running backs. And if you guys were on this team, you'd be fired up to have these guys as teammates. They 100% support each other. And I think that's one of the coolest parts about being a part of this team. Like, if he's in, he's all in for you. And if I'm in, I'm watching and doing it for you. So when you have that type of connection amongst your teammates, those are when the good things happen. Now, they're both very competitive, relentless competitors in that way. But even more importantly, they support each other to knowing we got a long way to go. We got a lot of season to play. And I think having both of them at their best and fresh makes it really challenging.
Coach, you're one of the only teams to beat them last year. Do you take anything from that, or is it totally new?
Yeah, each week and each season, to me, it's new. You have experience because you know some of the players on their team and the scheme that they're trying to run. But each and every week, it's different. The important part for us, we recognize this is a division game. And we know it's going to be a very tough physical game. That's what we expect. And knowing both teams are kind of built that way. And so we're expecting a tough game from them. We know that's their case. They got a lot of unique stuff to them, but we have some unique stuff too.
Dan, is there a sense of relief the way things are going offensively in the red zone? Is it kind of like, you know, maybe momentum is starting to swing you guys away?
We've put a lot of emphasis into that part of our game to find ways to, you know, create new looks, to create, you know, more opportunities for us to even practice at it. So oftentimes when you really emphasize certain things that you want to do better, you're going to get the results. Now, it's hard to emphasize everything all the time to say, okay, we're going to nail it in every way. But we knew for us, having a real emphasis on the football, improving our red zone offense, that was going to be 2 things that we were not going to back off of. Defensively, we have some things in terms of ball hawking that we're not there yet in terms of creating opportunities to get back and our tackling, you know, let that speed come through. So those are some things that were like tenets for us in this offseason to make sure we're, you know, can keep shining the light on all the time. So we're pleased so far.
Dan, on offense, when you had the success you had in the red zone, only 3 weeks in, I'm assuming there's a lot of things you can still do off, even your scoring plays. So is this sort of that time when you go, it worked here, but we're going to have another option that they haven't even seen yet?
Yeah, we have not been through the playbook, that's for sure, in the red zone. It's such a specific spot because people will play unique coverages, unique calls down in the red zone. So oftentimes the closer that you get, there are some plays that you know this coverage, we're going to get either man or zone, and we're going to work to one of those 2. That's everybody. But having the ability to get more turns and reps at it in practice throughout the offseason, I think that's been a real factor for us. We do like to use a lot of different personnel packages. Now that also expands your playbook some. The plays may look similar, but they're done with different groupings.
Well, back to Chris's question on the explosive plays. The mental ones are the one you have to fix in the classroom, physical.
Yeah, if there's a scheme issue one, or at times I'll say, you know, they executed that really well, and I'll tip my hat to them when those ones happen, which does happen. You know, when you're really limiting explosive plays, you're still in the 80s for at the end of the year. So we've got a lot of work to do to get our explosives down. The ones that are mental or a technique error to say, we can stop this play if we play it correctly, those are the ones that we say we rip the Band-Aid off, we show them again, we work them in practice, and those are the ones you can't repeat, Led. Those are the ones that bother you the most.